Amen. Amen. The building remodeling is going well, but we do definitely need your help. And with any project, there comes the point of sacrifice, and we're asking you to make a sacrifice. And those of us that are out there every day are just getting pretty weary, quite honestly. And I just want to be real honest with you. I take Fridays are my day off. I haven't had a day off since April. I've worked holidays, worked every Friday, worked nights getting my sermons, just like I've got a second job again. I don't say that to pat me on the back. I say we need equal sacrifice. Three people can't do this, church. We just need you. Whether it's an hour or 2 hours a week, we need you. If you can paint, we need you. If you can move a broom, we need you. It's a mess out there. And we just I thank you all for the part that you're playing in this, but we really need you to step up your game a little bit. And you know, it's the house of God. It's a place that's going to win souls and going to change lives. It's worth your investment in time and energy. And I don't want to beat you over the head with that, but we really do need you. We just need, you know, we've started working Tuesday nights to give you more of an opportunity. So we're there on Tuesdays. A lot of times we're there from 9 o'clock in the morning till 9 at night. We're just asking for a couple hours of your time after work. Just come out one time a week. And then if you can work on Saturday, we'll open it up for you. You know, you say, well, I don't know what to do. You just walk in the building and let me tell you, you're going to know what to do. You're going to see some things. Oh, my goodness, this needs done. And it does need done. So help us. We were going to try to be in there by the end of July. That is looking less and less like it can happen. So we're probably going to be here one more month. There was actually a rumor that the building had been rented, and we found out just last week, I believe it was last week, that the building has not been rented, that the landlord hasn't felt good about renting it yet. And I think she's done that for us, actually. And so she's more than willing to let us stay in August, and we'll probably need to take her up on that. But and I know the further that date goes, you start to say, well, I don't have to work. No. If we all work like madmen, we're going to be doing good to get it done by August. If we move in that church before it's complete, I don't know if you've ever been in this Sunday school room, but there's shoe molding and there's things around this church that have never got done. For 6 or 7 years, they've never been done because we moved in. We said, we'll do that in just a couple of weeks. As soon as we move in, we'll get that done. 6, 7 years later, we actually moved it to the attic because I got tired of tripping over it. So if you've ever built a house, the worst thing you can do is move into it before it's complete, because you'll learn to live with it. So we really want this to represent, it's not going to be extravagant at all, but we want to represent God at the very best, the best that we can do. Some of you have extreme talents that we just really need. And so that's all I'll say. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. And this title is Jesus is my example on how to treat others. And I have started a series on Wednesday night talking about the joy of the Lord. I really encourage you. We really felt like that was something from the Spirit of God. So I really encourage you to be a part of us on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We try to hold it down to an hour and 15 minutes, no longer, and try to respect your time, especially through the week. So Romans chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. He says, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may wish with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it brings life. Lord, that it reproves us and corrects us, Lord, for righteousness. It equips us for good work, Father. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of God is here. I felt Him moving across this congregation. I know that you are concerned for people, Lord. You love people. You want to help us. So, Lord, I pray today that the Spirit of God will make these words come alive in our heart to help us to live like Jesus lived, to love like Jesus loved, to treat people like Jesus treated people, and for a church that would resemble the church that Jesus would pastor. So, Father, make Bridge of Hope that kind of lighthouse for Henry County. Henry County needs to know the light of Jesus Christ and the love of the Father. So, Father, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The same writer, Paul, he wrote the book of Ephesians, and in Ephesians chapter 5, he says this in verse 1. He says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Be an imitator of God. If you've seen Jesus do it, you do it. That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
If Jesus didn't do it, you probably ought not do it. He says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself to us. How? As an offering and a sacrifice. I think that we live in probably one of the most selfish times of society. And if we're not careful, it slips into the church.
Yes.
People are so self-centered. We're so worried about taking care of me, right? So worried about just protecting my ego or who I am, and you didn't respect me enough and you didn't treat me right. And, well, who are you anyway, right? His whole life was one of sacrifice, that he lived to give. He lived to give. We live to take. Most people can't get enough. The more we have, the more we're trying to accumulate. Just hoarding this stuff. Stuff ain't going to help you. It's not going to bring you joy. If you battle depression, you find somebody to give to. You find somebody to sacrifice yourself and to pour out into someone else. You'll be blessed. I promise you, you'll be blessed. He starts off and he says, I'm writing this to who? To those who are strong in the faith. He's not writing this to new Christians. He's writing it to those who's had their butt in the pew for a long time. You know, sometimes we sit in church so long, we just get mean. We forget, what is this whole thing about? It's about loving people. Christians is the only society I know that we shoot or wounded. You let somebody fall and we kick them when they're down? No, sir. The world does a better job at that than we do. Do you realize people are joining gangs and they're joining things of the world because they want to be accepted? The most accepting people in the world ought to be the church. We don't do that. We say, if you come in here, we expect so much. We expect you to clean your life up, and we expect this. Let the Holy Ghost be the Holy Ghost. He starts off and he says, you that's strong in the faith. Now, I'm not going to ask you who that is in this place because we all are way too humble for that. Well, no, I wouldn't want to say I'm strong or anything. Come on, you know who I'm talking about. You've been in church for any length of time. This is probably directed at you. And in my opinion, he's saying, I didn't lift you up to lord it over them. I didn't lift you up to boss everybody in the church. I lifted you up so that you could be like me and wrap your arms around. You know, I love Jesus, but sometimes I need to feel the arms of a fellow believer. Sometimes I just need to know that through someone else's mouth, Jesus speaks to me and says, you go get them, Tiger. You're doing all right. You know, once in a while you hear those words from the Holy Ghost, but more often than not, the Holy Ghost will speak through someone to tell you that. He says, we ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. What's that mean? With their failing. When they come in and they make a big mess. My goodness. Christians, we got to clean up the mess. Somebody get the dustpan. Somebody get the mop. We got a mess on aisle two. A Christian just fell. Just pooped right in the floor. Just, man, we just got a mess. Come on. I remember when I worked in retail for about 7 years, somebody went into our dressing rooms and defecated. That's as nice as I know how to say it. And they called me, Eric. And I said, no, I will quit right now. I can't do that. You got to get somebody else to do that. You let them clean up and I'll go disinfect it. But I can't do that. I got saved when I was 7 years old. And I am so thankful. There's just so many things that I just, because I walked with the Lord, that, you know, He protected me. I just didn't ever open those doors to so many things. But there's other people that got saved much later in life. If you come out of the world, you may not have all your language Christianized for a while. There may be some habits that come out of a newborn Christian that's just beginning to walk with the Lord that's just not real acceptable yet. Go get them. You just straighten them out. You see somebody doing that, you straighten them out. Not what it says. He says you bear with them. You know what that means? It doesn't mean that I ignore it. Well, Joey's all right. But if I have a relationship with Joey, did you get those first few words? If I have a relationship with this man and I see him making some errors, I go to him privately. I said, hey, Joey, you're not making the best choices. I don't say, I can't believe you did that. I just said, hey, buddy, you know, there's a better way. Bearing with them doesn't mean we ignore the problems or we put up with everything in the church. Now, if Joey's been saved for just a couple of months, maybe even a couple of years, we treat him one way. If you're up on this pulpit, I may treat you another. If you're teaching a Sunday school and I find out that... if I see you in the liquor store... when I'm buying one, no. We may have a different conversation. Why? Because the level of maturity is different. Yes. You understand that? But he says, you which are strong, bear with those that are weak. Doesn't mean that anything goes in the house of God. Come on, that's garbage. Everything just doesn't get covered under the word of grace. That's right. God's grace is your enablement to live above that sin, not to enjoy it. Why would He die for us to deliver us from sin, to watch us go right back into it? He says, I've given you the power to overcome it. Sin has no dominion over you. My walk with God is not about me. You which are strong. Now, everything I'm reading today starts off with you which are strong. So I'm not talking to baby Christians a whole lot today. I'm talking to the church. I'm talking to the people that have a real strong, a pretty strong relationship with Him. It's not about you. Well, it's too hot in here. Well, it's too cold in here. Well, I don't like to see hymns. Well, I like to sing. I don't care. Shut up. There's more complaining in the body of Christ than in the world.
Amen.
Jeez. Come on. It's not about whether church pleases you. If we are lifting up and magnifying Jesus, teaching His Word, if this is not your church, I will bless you to go elsewhere. And I mean that in love. I really do. I know that this is not the flavor of church for everybody in Henry County. I understand that. We scare some people to death. We've two dancing on the front row. They're going, whoa, what have I just come into? There's liberty in the body of Christ. Some of you are going to stand in one spot and you're going to worship like this, and others, you're going to have to say, clear away. Here comes Doc. There's liberty for that. Can I just say this book, Be the Best You? You read it? It's garbage. I haven't read it. I don't have to read it. Because we are not a self-help church.
That's right.
Be the best you. Can I tell you what the best you is? The best you is a dead you. Jesus didn't come to make you better. He came to make you dead. You've got to die to yourself, crucify the flesh, so Jesus Christ can live in you. He cannot accomplish His purpose in you as long as you are living. Why? Because we're selfish. That old nature is selfish. And can I say this? The only way to crucify your flesh, to die to yourself, is to starve it to death. We don't take a pill, we don't shoot ourselves. We have to starve the old man. And it's amazing to me how sometimes we do really good in this. You know, man, we've been denying ourselves and Jesus is living large, and all of a sudden we just take a sabbatical. We take a vacation from that and we just live it up. Oh, the old man comes back alive. Isn't it amazing how fast the old man comes alive? You don't think the old man comes alive? Next time you're driving down the road, somebody cuts you off, takes that parking spot that you was getting ready to pull into, don't you wave with one finger. That old man will rise up. Want to bless them. But the new man says, God bless them. God bless them. Love them. It's hard to do. You know, it's really hard. It's hard to get mad at somebody that you're praying for. It's hard to curse somebody that you're praying for. We need to pray more. I am my brother's keeper. It really is my responsibility to watch over them. I know churches that are going down to the point where they're taking and putting somebody spiritually mature and they're cutting the church up into sections like every three rows, and they're telling people, you pastor these three rows. You pastor these three rows. You pastor these. You know what they're doing? We're manipulating the body ministry. I mean, that's really what's supposed to happen. I just don't think that we should. If we just teach people to be spiritually minded, Paul may always sit over here, but he may see somebody over here that needs minister to, that the Spirit of God has touched his heart, and Paul needs to have the freedom to be able to go over there and say, man, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you this morning. Don't know what you're carrying, but the Spirit of God spoke. You see what I'm saying? It's about caring for each other. I'm sorry that church turned out to be all about the pastor, because it's not supposed to be. It never was intended to be. That's not the way Jesus set it up. That's not. My job, let me get this right. My job is to equip you to be a minister.
That's right. Amen.
So that means people come into the house. There'll be a point in your life when you'll stop coming to church because of what you get out of it. And you'll start coming to church for what you can do in it. So you come to church not with a feed me mentality, but with, Lord, is there somebody there that I can speak to, that I can love? That's body ministry. That's what Christ wants. The church ought to be the most loving, accepting place on the earth. But many times we're not. But that doesn't mean we can't change. Jesus is our example of selflessness. He didn't come to do his will. Matter of fact, even in the garden, he said, not my will. What would Jesus' will be? It was obviously different than going to the cross. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. God's will was go to the cross and die for other people. Jesus was totally man and totally God. Just like you, he was battling. He said, Lord, my will is I'm ready to go home right now. Send that legion of angels. But it's not about me. Oh my goodness, for a church that would pray that. Lord, it's not about me. It's about what I can do for the kingdom. It's about, you know what? It doesn't, they don't have to belong to the Bridge of Hope to love people. Love on the Church of Christ. Love on them of different faiths. Bless God, you can love a Muslim. You can love a homosexual. We've been called to love people. Not slap them on the back and say, you're okay and I'm okay. No, no, don't you hear me saying that. There's one way, and that's through Jesus Christ to salvation. But we need to understand that he's called us to be selfless. You know, it says that in Luke 4 that he came to set the captives free. Captives to what? Captives to their old habits, to the sin. He came to restore the sight to the blind. Maybe that's why he's called the light of the world. He came to heal those that are bruised. We have some bruised people. Some people are bruised by the world. Other people are bruised by the church. When Treva and I, before we became pastors, you know, I like to say this. I'm not a professional pastor. And I like that. I'm a God-called pastor. In other words, I didn't go to Bible college to get my credentials. God called me, and I studied, and God's taught me a lot of things. I have not arrived at all. I actually am trained to be a businessman, and I like that. I was happy doing that, running a business. But God saw otherwise. And our pastor asked us to come and start a satellite church. And he called us preachers in training, or pastors in training. I, being the sharp mind that I am, put that together and I said, P-I-T, pastors in training. It means I'm going to the pit. Everybody that will accomplish anything for God will spend some time in the pit. You don't have to be a called pastor. If you take your walk with Jesus serious enough that you want to be selfless and that you want to help others and you want to pour your life into them, you're going to be like Joseph and you're going to go to the pit. Why? Because he refines us in the pit. Buddy, it was a long time before I could say thank you for my pit experience. And I'm not talking about the satellite pastor. I'm talking about 10 years before that, where the pastor ate me up for lunch, accused me of everything. Been in the church for 40 years, and I got accused of doing things that was awful. Man, that's hard to take when you absolutely love your church. You know, I think I had to go through some things like that because I didn't realize, I didn't see 2012 coming when I was living through that. I didn't realize God was going to send me out to Henry County to start a church that was going to touch bruised people. Most people that have come to this church have been severely hurt. Mostly by the church. Amen. This whole congregation is people that have been either set aside, set down, spit on, rejected by the church. We're a bunch of castaways, in other words. Do you remember David when he was talking about when he was, before David was king, you know, he'd been appointed, he knew where he was headed, but it says that all the people that had been cast away and the outcasts and all these people started coming to David. And you know what they became? David's mighty men. You can either let the pit dry you up, or you can let it refine you. Yes. Let Jesus heal you during the pit experience. Because if you've been bruised, you recognize bruised people. There are people that will come in this congregation, and I won't even know their name, but I'll know their heart. I sense that quickly, that's a hurt soul right there. You just get it. You know why? Because I've been it. I've been bruised. Jesus don't want to leave us bruised. He came to heal the bruised. My pastor, when I was a teenager, Treva and I was just dating. Their 2.5-year-old son got ran over by a car and killed him. Treva was actually there and watched it happen. It's a tragic event. Some 30 years later, his oldest son was playing basketball. This guy played football for a college, a big college, big guy. He's out on the basketball court at about 32, 33 years old and drops over dead. That's two of his three kids. A couple years later, his wife says, "I don't love you anymore." Now, he's pastoring a church. "I don't love you anymore. I want a divorce." Daryl come to our church and he says, "I know what the bruised is. I am bruised. And I want you to know there's life after being bruised." There's life after being bruised, guys. Jesus wants to restore us. Philippians 2:5, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but considered, where am I at? But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming into the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance of the man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Let this mind be in you. Be an imitator of Christ. You see, are you getting the message?
Yes.
We're to look like our brother. We're to act like him. There's no selfishness. Paul goes on, he says, the word that you have was given for our good. So all the scriptures, now at this time when he's writing this, they don't have the New Testament. What do they have? They have the Old Testament. They have the Torah. They have some of the writings of David, the Psalms and the Proverbs. And he says, this is good for us. I know whole denominations that spit out the Old Testament. You can learn from the Old Testament. You can gain great value. The Scripture says in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All Scripture, new and old. God is the same in the Old Testament as He is in the New Testament. He wasn't in a bad mood in the Old Testament and a good mood in the New Testament. That's the way it reads sometimes. That's the way Christians read it. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then he says, now may the God of patience and comfort. Stop right there. I love it when God describes himself.
Yes.
The God of comfort and patience. When you feel something pushing you to do something, it's probably not the Holy Ghost. It's probably your wife. No, no. It's probably an outside influence. You see what I'm saying? God is patient. Now, does He try to move you forward? Absolutely. Because there's healing and there's life. But He's so gentle about it. Isn't He? I'm amazed at people that get a word from the Lord and it scolds them. Hey, listen, fatty, you need to lose some weight. Let me tell you, that's just not God. That's not God. God doesn't say anything deflammatory to you. He wouldn't describe you that way. Does that make sense to you? I'm amazed at the people that think God has talked to them, but they hear condemnation. No, you're listening to the wrong voice. The God of comfort and patience. You got it? Listen, I corrected my children all the time. Maybe too much. But I never called them stupid little devils.
No,
we don't do that. That's the ways of the world. If I wanted to teach them something was hot, I wouldn't put their hand on the stove. I just say, that's hot. That car could hurt you. Be careful with cars. Right? Why do we think that God would speak to us with an ugly tone? God will take you to the woodshed. Well, you know what? God does correct those He loves. But even in His correction, there's gentleness. You get it? It's a loving, hey, you don't need to do that. The way of man may seem right in his own eyes, but the end is destruction. He cares enough for you that He comes alongside and He says, you're going down the wrong path. Let's divert this. Let's choose. Let's make a better choice than this. He says, may He grant you to be like-minded towards one another. I'm so sick of the church trying to be the trumpet section instead of the symphony. Some of you didn't get that. We're not all going to sound alike. I love trumpets. But I don't want everybody to be a trumpet. I want some saxes. I want some violins. The cello is my favorite instrument. I love those deep sound. You don't have to think just like me for us to be like-minded. If you do, you're just as screwed up as I am. We're going to be different. I haven't lived the life that Sonny lived. So I'm naturally going to think differently than he does on some things. I've never been a woman. I guess you're proud to know that. So I'm not going to see things like women do. They're more intuitive than we are. God didn't say think alike. He said be like-minded. Our goals ought to be the same. Our goal ought to be, let Bridge of Hope be a lighthouse to Henry County. Amen. Let every person that come in here feel the warm embrace of the Holy Ghost and the love of the Spirit of God. That's like-minded. We're here to accomplish a purpose. The end result of acting like this, of being like-minded, glorifies God. And then he goes on and he says in verse 7, therefore... Remember, I've told you before, when you see the word therefore, it's the funnel. He's taken everything that he just talked about and he's funneling it down. He says, okay, I'm going to make this easy for you. I want to take everything that I just said and I'm going to put it in one little nugget. Get the nugget. Just as Christ has received you, I love that. You receive others. Stay with me for just a few more minutes. I promise I'm going to be quick. How did Jesus receive us? Number one, he met you at your level of faith. The little woman with the issue of blood said, I got to touch the hem of his garment. She got what she needed. Another man says, Jerry said, just come to my house. And I know my servant will be healed. My son will be healed. What did Jesus do? He went to his house. Blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, have mercy on me. He had mercy on him. The Roman centurion said, just speak the word. I know there's authority in your word. It's all I need. Jesus met every woman, every person at their level of need. The woman caught in adultery, he met her at her need. She was guilty. The law said, stoner. He says, you that's without sin, go ahead. Throw the first stone. Did you catch his last words? He says, neither do I condemn you. In other words, there's only one person out here that could have condemned you, and I don't. Now, you get this. She was guilty of adultery. See, church members, we'd have problems with this. We like it when Jesus does it, but don't bring that stuff into the church. He said, neither do I condemn you, but I don't want you to stay that way. You go and sin no more. Don't continue in this lifestyle. You know why? Because there's condemnation coming if you continue. Because one day you'll see me not as your Savior, but as your judge. What if we catch a member having an affair? What if we catch him doing drugs? We address the problem with love. We go to them. Hey, brother, you probably ought not be teaching a Sunday school right now. Let's set you down. Why don't we meet every week for a few months? Right? We love them. Until restoration. Jesus met people at their point of need. Jesus met them with grace and mercy, not with judgment. Grace and mercy. Mercy means you didn't get what you deserved, and grace means you did get something you didn't deserve. Can the church just give grace and mercy a little bit? Not everybody that comes in is going to be perfect. Nobody comes in is going to be perfect. Jesus loved us when we were still sinners. He died for us. Some people are going to come in with some old lifestyles. What are we going to do? We're going to treat them like Jesus treats them. We're going to love them. We're going to be wise. I am not going to put a child pedophile in the nursery because we're giving grace and mercy here. Oh, hallelujah. No, go ahead and keep our babies. No. We're not ignorant. We're going to keep that guy away from the babies. But I'm going to tell you, I can't wait for the day when we have a group of homosexuals here.
That's right.
A group of adulterers. A group of whatever. And then watch God change their life. And watch a church love them.
Yes.
Brother Ray asked the question, but what are we going to do if they mess up and they fall back into it? We're going to grab them by the arm and say, let's come back out of that.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I messed up quite a bit when I first got saved. And I was 7. How bad can a 7-year-old be? Wicked. Jesus poured his life into the disciples. We have got to do a better job of this. We've got to start mentoring each other. The Bible says older women teach younger women how to love your husbands. Dear Jesus, you got to teach women how to love their husbands?
Yes.
You watched. Men, older men, teach the younger men. How about these little boys that are growing up in single homes? They need to know a man. God bless that mama. But what about a man when you go fishing with your son, taking him fishing? Showing him what a man looks like and how a man acts, and you act right too. Be a man of integrity.
Yeah.
I said something Wednesday night, and Denny Hobson comes to me at the end of the service, and he says, I'll do that. And I said, you'll do what? What are you talking about? And he said, I will mentor somebody if they want me to. You know what he was saying? I'm available.
Yes.
Guys, you won't find a finer man in this church than Denny Hobson.
Right.
He's a young guy, but he's a man of integrity. He's smart. It's a good man. And he is saying, I will take the time out of my life and I'll pour it into somebody else. Now, some man, now let me just tell you real quick. We don't do this man to woman. No. That's just foolish. Men, women will meet with women. But we've got to begin to intertwine our lives so that we help each other. Life's hard. Jesus poured his life into his disciples. There was an extreme level of intimacy. You cannot get to know each other just at church. Listen to me. Just as Christ received you, you receive others.
Yes.
You're going to lunch this afternoon? Ask somebody to go with you. I cannot get to know you only at church. You've got your church face on. I want to know who you are on Monday. I want to know what you do through the week. But it's not just about me, it's about you. You want to know why people hit the front door and then hit the back door and we never see them again? It's not because I'm out preaching, I'm watching. It's because we didn't intertwine our lives with them.
That's right.
Yes.
I was too busy shaking the hands of everybody that I know so well. Going to lunch with everybody that's been here for 5 years.
Come on. Give us God.
Instead of saying, hey, I'd like to get to know you.
Yes.
Oh, I just can't do that. Oh, get over yourself. That's just selfish. You know, the truth of the matter is I'm a very shy person. Oh, quit laughing. I am. I'd rather be in the back room anytime as out front. I really would. But it's not about me. It's about what does he want.
Yeah.
When's the last time you had somebody over your house for dinner? There was a time in the church world when people had somebody over to their house every week. Hey, I cooked dinner. Can you come with me? Today we go out and eat. Invite them with you. You don't have to buy their dinner. You know what? Hey, I've got a bologna sandwich. I'd like to split it with you. Some people are so starved for fellowship, they'll say, I'll take you up on that. I can't stand bologna, but I'll eat it with you. If it's brown swagger, do not invite me home with you. Mark 19 or 4:19 says that the cares, this is on the parable of the sower. He says the cares of this life, the deceitful riches, the desires for other things entering in choked the word and it became unfruitful. Christians, get this. The cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this life and trying to earn a living, trying to live the American dream, has choked off the word in the church. We don't love each other like we should. And I think this is an extremely loving church. But I'm not satisfied when I see people that's been here for one time sitting in the foyer and all of us walking beside them. That makes me mad. If you don't know that face, stop and greet them.
Yes.
It might be that God has sent them here to get healing.
Yes. Amen.
To be loved.
Yes.
You cannot love somebody if you won't stop and introduce yourself. As He received you, you receive others. He did not ignore you. If He had ignored you, there would none of us be saved. He went out of His way to rescue you. Have you ever thought that there's people in this church right now that need rescued?
Come on, yes.
I know they look, they got that smile on, everything looks perfect, but their life is falling apart. Wake up!
Yes.
As He received you, would you receive someone else? We are stinking selfish. And we ought not be. Come on, guys. It's not all about you. Become a minister. Give your life to help somebody. Rescue them. I know what you're thinking. Oh, I just don't know enough. I don't know that I'm good enough to do that. Are you serious? Do you think God waits till you're good enough to use you? None of us would get used. Jesus got His hands dirty waiting on us. He washed the disciples' feet. Somebody else should have done that. But nobody did it, so Jesus did it. Jesus encouraged the disciples. Even after they made a big mistake. Peter said three times, I never knew Him. Do you remember what Peter's word to the, I think it was to Mary? She said, go tell the disciples I've risen and tell Peter. Tell Peter. You know what he was doing? You make sure this message gets to Peter. I know what Peter feels like. He feels like the biggest failure in the earth. You make sure you tell Peter. And then one day, Jesus and Peter alone, and Jesus begins to pour that love. Aren't you thankful? Sometimes after the biggest blunders of your life, the Holy Ghost just comes alongside of you. And He just pours that love in. I think it may sound something like this. Joey, I'm not mad at you. I forgive you. Now go feed my sheep. Go do something that counts. Quit thinking about yourself. Go feed my sheep. I wish I could take a moment and speak to every one of you and say, are you feeding my sheep? Most Christians are fat with the word. You've heard me say many times, God's into rivers, not dams. He pours it in so you can pour it out. Jesus built people up. He didn't tear them down. I think one moment with the Master and we would leave like we was 10 foot tall. I can conquer the world. Why? Because I've been with Jesus. How badly do people need Jesus in their life? This young lady here, she's going through a hard time. Nobody knows that. I'm telling you, she's going through some hard time. What do you think it'd mean to her for two or three ladies just to get her and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you this week. I'm going to ask God to move on your behalf. Deb Turbenfield comes in here week after week, many times in much pain. But she lifts that voice up to God.
Lord.
I can tell when she walks in the building. I'm up here on the front row. Because something happens to the atmosphere when this couple comes in. But that doesn't mean she doesn't need people to come alongside of her. We got people that are going through a divorce. We got people that there's just problem that I wish that being a Christian meant the problems left you, but it doesn't mean that. In this world you'll have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
We have got to be the body of Christ. We've got to come alongside. We've got to help each other. Are you getting it? Just as He received you, you receive others. So, Eric, I'd love to take people out for lunch, but I just don't have any money. You see me later. If you're sincere, you see me later. I may just pay for it because I think that's what the church needs. I think the church needs people that will take somebody to coffee on Tuesday. And not gossip about the pastor. We got a few of those. We don't need more of those. There is lots to say. Are you getting it?
Yes.
It's not about me. It's about who I can help.
Yes.
Can the Lord take what's been bruised in me and help you?
Yes.
Absolutely. That's the body of Christ. We're not all mouthpieces. We're not all big toes. But we're all the body.
Yes. Amen.
We have a job to do. It's not all about the pastor. The pastor fulfills one role in church. But if we leave it to one man, we're all going to starve to death. We've got to intertwine our lives and love each other. We've got to help each other win in this life. I'm going to go one more step. There's actually, sometimes when I see people in our church fall, I sometimes take it a little personal. Sometimes I think, what could I have done? Was I not there for somebody? Maybe if they had just talked to somebody, they wouldn't have made that decision. It's not all about me. I can't get to 160 of you. But maybe if you had taken someone to lunch, if you'd had that cup of coffee, you'd found out that somebody's contemplating something that's not smart. You know, an affair, people don't just jump in bed with people. It's very gradual. I had a good friend. He began to flirt with a girl at work. And he told me about it. I said, buddy, you're going down the wrong road. Now, every week when we get together, good friends, he's like a son in the faith. He'd tell me about the entanglement, getting closer, getting closer, getting closer. And I kept saying, you're playing the part of a fool. Don't do that. He didn't do that. I'm so thankful. But there was a day when I got a phone call. And he said, can you come out and talk to me and my wife? And I said, I certainly can, but why do I need to? Well, she's found out about my involvement. She was just as hurt as if there had been a physical relationship. Maybe I wasn't strong enough. Maybe I should have said, stop that. Quit your job if you had to quit your job. Go to a different line. Don't do this. Let's not wait till we pick up the paper one day and find out someone committed suicide in our church. Well, I didn't even know they were sad. Yep, you probably didn't. Because the cares of this life and the deceitful of riches has choked off our compassion. That's heavy. I know it is. But if you'll just look around, I'm going to tell you, there's people in this congregation hurting. Now, I know a couple of stories, but I'm going to tell you, when I was sitting right there where Tree was sitting, the Spirit of God let me know this church is hurting. I wish I could take it. You remember Jesus saying, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you. That's a pastor's heart. I understand that. I wish I could meet with every one of you and help you in some way, but I can't. I can't. But you can. You can help in your area, in your field. You can love on somebody. You can receive them as Christ received you. No judgment. But love and acceptance, and show them a better way. Stand with me. Father God, I just come before you today and I thank you, Lord, for your word that's so direct. I thank you, Father, that this word applies directly to the church and who we are as Christians. Lord, I believe that the people in this church want to be like you and they want to attend a church that loves people. But sometimes what we want and are doing is just a little short. Sometimes fear and things get in our way of stepping out of our self and embracing someone else. I'm asking you, Lord, that when the Holy Spirit moves on people to love someone, that they take that action, that they step out, and with the love of Christ, they show your love. Father, my heart still is just breaking today over people that are hurting. People that have been bruised and beat up. Some by the world, but many of them by the church. Can I just say as a pastor, God, I'm so sorry that happens in your body. I apologize, I repent that those things grievous in your sight has happened in your body. Give us wisdom and grace to watch people get healed. I ask you, Holy Spirit, Paraclete, Comforter, Teacher, would you move and begin to lighten the load and touch the hearts? Begin to pour in the oil and the wine and let the bruising begin to heal, the cuts begin to mend. God, it's going to take your love and your work the way we submit ourselves to you. Father, I pray for Sheila Jackson today because I know she's concerned about her sister. Father, we lift up Sherry before you and we pray for healing. We speak healing and life over her. But I pray that Sheila would just be able to show the love of Christ to her sister. Let her see the strength of the Holy Ghost in her life. I ask you, Lord, to touch Leela. Lord, you know the fight that she's in. I pray, Lord Jesus, lead her to someone that's wise. Give her counsel from the Almighty. Let her know that you are in her day. You are there with her. You're not a step ahead and you're not a step behind. You're right with her, walking with her through that. She's not alone in this. You're with her, and so is this church. May that comfort her. Father, touch Deb Turbefield. I just pray, Lord, for your healing touch. Touch Mary St. Clair, Father. Lord, be with her. Touch her. Lord, you know she needs some things. Father, touch the Petersons. Beat up by this world. Felt like they were drowning. Let them know that the Deliverer is there. Let Casey know, Father, that Titus is going to be all right. Touch Brother Bud, Lord. Bring healing to his body, but bring strength to his wife. Let them know, Father, that this church stands with them. Touch Deb Jasper, Father. Bring healing to her mind. May she live in peace. Father, every one of us is a story, Lord. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to touch this body. Bring your healing. Lord, for the new families that you brought in. I don't even know the stories, Lord, but I see hurt. God, touch people. How dare we get so arrogant? Father, we're asleep and we don't even know people are hurting. Jesus. I know that you want to use our hands and our mouth to speak your love. Father, go with every person. Be with us. You are the great I am. We love and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Raise your hand and receive a blessing from the Lord. Pastor Ray is at another church today. They're having his uncle-in-law's funeral. Lonnie Dykus, his brother, passed away this week. He was a man of God.